Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 13th episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. Today's guest is a longtime meal plan user who has lost, get ready, over 100 pounds. Absolutely incredible, but not without some challenges, which is what today's whole podcast is about. I actually have to thank my co-pilot because it was her idea that we had this topic. It stemmed from a conversation that was rolling out in the VIP forum for annual members, and I'm really glad she talked me into doing this, and I'm even more excited that she's going to be my co-pilot today. So please give me a big hand in welcoming Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, Lindsay. So happy to be here.
Yes, I loved when I asked you. You're like, yeah, I want to fly this happy herbivore skies or something like that. I was like, she's so cute. I can't wait to have her on the show.
Yay.
Yeah. So two things. Well, one is I thought I'd give a little background for sort of how this haul came about. So we were on the private group for all of our members, and we were all sort of talking about getting stuck at plateaus. Like, if, for me, I know this happened no matter how well I thought I was eating or what I was doing. There was this weight. I couldn't seem to break it. And I was doing, you know, pretty good and I couldn't break it. And then I had to sort of really revisit my diet and really get honest with myself and change my mindset to lose the weight. And that's sort of your story too. So why don't you jump in and sort of kind of tell us, how did you come to a plant-based diet? How did you lose 100 pounds? And maybe tell us about these roadblocks you faced.
Well, I started at 306 and I did a typical standard American diet weight loss plan. I switched around from different plans, but they were all based on restricting calories and 100 calorie Oreo packs, like, yeah, things, right, like that, things like that. And then after a while, I was kind of doing it on my own and I had gotten down to 220, which was huge.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I was still really, you know, I was still pretty big and I knew I needed to still lose more weight. So that's when I just kind of got stuck and I had my son and I got back to 220. That wasn't hard. So I was like, okay, I've got skills. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not bad, but why can't I lose anymore? And I was down to like this strict 1200 calorie. I could never maintain it more than a week. And I was miserable. I was exercising all of the time. Then it was making my back hurt because I was exercising constantly, mm-hmm, with a little baby around. I mean, I was so stressed out. I was really, really miserable. And then I started having some health problems like blood pressure and getting dizzy spells. And I thought, wait a minute, I've lost all this weight.
Right. I shouldn't be having these problems now.
Right.
Yeah.
What train did I miss? Hello. All my problems, they're not solved, it's worse. So a friend of mine knew like this kind of cool macro counselor type person. He wasn't like a strict microbiotic. He was just kind of just really cool. And he said, Steph, it's your food. I'm like, what do you mean it's my food? I know how to diet. I'm like, I'm a diet expert. That's my problem. He's like, no, you need to like back off this and add more of that. But it really came down to cutting out animal proteins and dairy. He was like, dairy, mm-hmm, dairy, 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 dairy. You got to get out the dairy. And this was like new to me. I'd never heard of this before. I've heard of gluten and things like that. But I thought, these people are crazy. I'm in South Louisiana. We eat boudin and we, you know, drink lots of alcohol and barbecue meat. Like, this is crazy. So I started reading up on it to learn more about it, figure what's he talking about. That's when I found Forks Over Knives and read all the different books and things like that. And I came across this book by a really tall, thin, blonde lady. And I don't want to like diss anybody because it was good stuff too. But for some reason, I just gravitated that it was vegan. So it must be what he's trying to tell me to do to be healthy, because, mm-hmm, it's vegan and she's beautiful. So surely I'll look like her.
Right,
if I,
right,
got this cookbook. And so I did that and I was eating fried tempeh.
Which is, I'm sure, delicious, but.
Yeah, fried tempeh. And I asked my husband if he remembered this, and he does. I had nuts soaking on our kitchen counter every night.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been cashews or it was pecans. And I went, I didn't know I could make cashews savory and sweet. And sometimes I was eating like spinach dip for lunch and then some sort of raw dessert in the evening full of nuts. And I gained 10 pounds. So freaked out again.
You're like, I'm doing what he told me. He's wrong.
Lindsay, I can't tell you, like, I cried.
Oh.
Because I thought, I can't believe I've come this far, and now I'm supposed to be helping the animals, and all I'm doing is getting bigger and more miserable and more dizzy spells and more blood pressure. And I have to tell you, that was probably one of the hardest moments in my weight loss journey, even then in the beginning, because I thought, I cannot let one more thing go. Like, you know, it, you feel like you're so deprived already, you know? So it's like to let something else go and change yet again. But somehow I found your website, probably through all the reading I was doing. And I thought, I remember I told my husband, look, we can make chocolate chip cookies. Look, And at first, I didn't lose weight right away because we basically just ate chocolate chip cookies. So my taste buds needed a lot of reprogramming, and I was still gravitating towards anything that had peanut butter in it. Oh, look, I could put one nut on the top of this, so I had the nut. Like, it took me so – I can't even tell you, Lindsay, how long it took me to get that through my head. And when my little micro guy was like, it's the oil, it's the oil. I'm like, but you don't understand. I stopped eating all this fried food. You know, you're just riding me. Yeah, and then I saw the hummus container that I would buy from the store. And it had 2 tablespoons of oil in one serving, which is like a couple of bites.
Right.
But I would eat the whole container.
Which is so easy to do with hummus. I'm the same way.
Yeah. It's like crack. I'm like, I can't stop eating it. And so I went, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is the oil. Maybe it's like hidden oils that I didn't think of. And so then I started looking at it like sugar. It's oil and everything, like sugars and everything.
Yep.
And, case closed, right? I was done. And so that's when my taste buds kind of started shifting, because that was really hard to let go of, all that kind of fatty flavor and how it feels in your stomach. It fills you up and all of that.
Yeah, it's a mouthfeel. It's a very specific mouthfeel. It's not like sugar where it like kind of triggers a happy, you know, thing in your brain. It's just, it's the mouthfeel.
It is. It is. And then I stumbled on the meal plans. It's like, because I like to cook and I like variety and I don't like to think about it too much. You know, I want it kind of done for me. I like to feel like I have a chef. I'm just kind of living in that world. I want a chef. So when I found like the meal plans, I'm like, this might could work for my family. And at first, I thought maybe it was a little bland, but it was because I was still shifting. It took a while for my taste buds to shift. So I want people to understand that, you know, like when you're eating like salt and sugar and fat over and over again, 3 meals a day, and you go to eating like a potato, you're like, what?
Yep. Oh, no, it's so true. It's because your, you know, your taste buds and your taste receptors become so damaged that it you they just need to heal. But then, like you said, when you do food that you're like, oh my god, that was so bland, it suddenly has so much depth and flavor. I remember being really surprised eating a rice cake thinking it was super flavorful when I used to think it tasted like cardboard.
Yes. Yeah. And it, when it started happening to me, I was so happy.
Oh, I bet.
It takes some kind of grit, you know, you get some emotional reserve like to push through that to get to the other side. But the more I would read about it, and I loved all your ebooks that you have, the ones really break down the why you don't do oil and the why. And I would always follow the links to watch the YouTube videos by the great plant-based doctors we have. And I was so inspired by these people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, jet-setting around the world, and this is how they eat. This is how these successful people in body and mind, this is how they fuel themselves. And here I was, you know, I don't want to get my age. Okay, I was like 25. And I thought, I feel like I'm 60. Like I was having brain fog and I was schlepping around, you know, even though I had lost this weight. I thought, am I going to feel worse than this in 20 years?
Right, right.
It was scary. Yeah, it was scary.
Am I going to even have those 20 years? Because I mean, I've met a lot of people who, like you said, they're only 40, which is very young, but they feel 60 and they're like, I don't even know how I'm going to make it to 60. And it's so sad because they're so young.
It's so true. It's so true. And it takes so much to go against the tribe.
Yes.
And oh my gosh. And the biggest thing that really stuck in my mind was, you'll know his name. He did the Pleasure Trap.
Oh God. I love Doug Lyle.
Okay. Yes. He had a DVD.
Love him. Yeah.
Yes. Off McDougal's website that I watched, where he talked about status. Mm-hmm. He's like, you just got to let the other people know that you're not a threat.
Yes. I love that point.
And I was like, oh my word. So that I started saying that everywhere. Like, I'm just trying it. It may be totally stupid and idiotic. I'm crazy.
Yeah. It works. He's so right. You just disarm them by like letting them know you're not trying to change the status quo. I cannot recommend the pleasure trap enough. I'm so glad you brought that up. And actually, funny note, Doug Lyle is actually my doctor. And so, yeah, I know. I feel very, very lucky. I had already known his work before we became introduced professionally, and then he subsequently treats me for my OCD. But I love that book, and it really is true. It's just, it's not putting yourself down, but you're just like, oh, I'm just being weird, I'm just whatever, but you enjoy yourselves, it solves the problem instantly.
It does. And it puts people at ease. And then there were times, I'll be honest, I would stay home from stuff because I didn't think I could not eat the other stuff, you know?
Right.
And now it's a lot easier. But I think when you're switching over, that gap in between there and here, like, you really have to have a lot of mental reserve and know why you're doing it. And I just kept reading and listening to everything I could get my hands on. And then when I started the meal plans, I got really excited because I love trying new things. And then I didn't have to worry about my husband and my son. Like, I just batch cook everything now, and I'm like, have at it, y'all. Yeah. I'm done for the week.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna talk about batch cooking later. I'm so excited that you love it as much as I do. But two things that you said that really resonated with me is, one is you said that you're a professional dieter, and I felt that way too. Like, I lived and died by all of those 100 calorie packs. Like, if they sold something like a Snackwell or 100 calorie Oreos or 100 calorie Cheez-Its, I bought it and basically lived off those. I'd like portion out like 12 of those packs a day or whatever. And like you, like, I did lose some weight, but I never really felt very good or satisfied. And eventually I just came to realize, you know, 100 calories of like some kind of weird processed Oreo is just not the same as 100 calories of carrots. And why am I expecting my body to treat the same? Like, that calorie in, calorie out, like, it sounds right in theory, but it just, you can't. Our body isn't going to respond to like these 100 calorie packs of Oreos. And if you haven't looked at them, they have like 500 ingredients. It's like, how can I really expect my body to treat those 100 calories the same as 100 calories of carrots? Like, intuitively, I knew that was wrong. And yet I still kept plugging it into the same math formula and expecting like the same result.
Yes. Like, this showed up for me when I would go to my family, like at Christmas or Thanksgiving, and I would have one piece of cake, right? I was like, okay, I'm going to do one piece of cake. Lindsay, I was miserable the rest of the day because I kept wanting more.
Yeah.
Not even just physically, mentally. It was like an addict. I was like, yep. I got to go get more and more and more. And then I would just, and it was the thinking about it. It almost made me bananas. And I literally have to not touch it at all.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
For me, it makes me like cuckoo.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no. It is. And I'm the same way. I was at a birthday party and I normally never like partake in the cake, but there was a vegan cake and it was lemon, and that was my favorite. And I have not had lemon cake in, I can't even tell you how many years, but it was like you said, I had just like two bites, and the rest of the day I was like fighting myself, not trying to go put my whole face in the cake. And then I like thought about it for days and days after, and I was like, this is not a healthy behavior. And there's people like my husband who can have three bites and not care and just move on with his life, but that's not for me. Like, sugar just sends me straight, like you said, on the roller coaster of going cuckoo.
Yes, it's like a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I love that you were so honest about is you said you picked up this book with this like tall, beautiful, skinny blonde person, and so you thought, oh well, if I eat what she's eating, then it'll be okay. And unfortunately for you, you were eating all these nuts and you gained weight. But the same thing happened to me, as I picked up this book written by two brunettes, but they were also tall and skinny and beautiful. And the title had skinny in it. And so I thought the same thing, like, oh, I just eat these foods. But everything, like you said, was like tons of coconut oil. Everything was fried, lots of fake meat, lots of fake cheese. And I thought I was doing the right thing and eating the right thing because I was eating vegan. I wasn't eating the dairy anymore, which I totally agree with your macro guy that if there's one thing to take out of the diet, please take out dairy. Especially if you're having any kind of health issues or weight gain. But it was the same thing. I like put on weight and I was like, but I already removed all these things from my diet. But it really, you know, it was a real testament to me. It was just like going back to the 100 calorie packs of Oreos. Like, just because it sounds like it's healthy or you want it to be, doesn't mean that it is.
It's true. Yeah. And especially like on the fake meats, like at first, mm-hmm. like way back, I was like switching over with a lot of the really yummy fake meats out there. And I remember I had this one sweet potato dish I eat just about every morning. And I from the cookbook, the initial cookbook, they used the sausage in it. And so I would buy the fake sausage and put big chunks of it in there. And that was one of the things he's like, well, you know, that's got oil in it. I'm like, no, it's fake meat. It's not mm-hmm. oil. Like,
yeah, and a lot of them, it's the first or second ingredient. I know with a lot of the fake cheeses, which are delicious, oil is the first or second ingredient.
Yeah, and so I said, okay, I'm going to cut this out. But I couldn't do it like right away, like all at once. So I started just putting less and less in every time I made the dish.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it worked. Like slow over time. Really, really slow.
Yeah.
And now I don't ever even buy that anymore. So it was worth me taking that extra month or two that it took me to wean off of it, not really feel it. Then if I would have just whacked it out and said, no more, that's it, you're punished, you're done, I would have probably rebelled because I'm like that in my head, you know? But because I just did it really slowly where I was almost sneaking in on myself, giving my taste buds a chance to adjust. Now I never, it's just all vegetables in there now. It's great.
That's awesome. And that works for a lot of people. My husband was one of those people who had to sort of phase two. Other people, it's better to just do like, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, do the 180. But it's really important to know yourself and to sort of know those things about you. But that is one thing. And I love that you're so honest about the hidden oils, because that was certainly a problem for me is, you know, I initially cut, you know, meat and dairy and eggs out of my diet. And I even stopped cooking with oil because I had read a bunch of books like yourself and said, oh, okay, so oil is not good. It causes weight gain. It damages the heart. You know, Dr. Essel says one drop damages the endothelial cells of our heart. So I'd cut it out. But like you, I wasn't necessarily checking my hummus or my pasta sauce or anything like that. And so initially I lost some weight, and then I couldn't break this barrier. And it was just like, why am I don't understand. I was being so perfect and I was counting everything and I just couldn't figure it out. But then I had that sort of same coming to Jesus moment with the oil. And I realized, oh my gosh, like there's so much of it in this hummus. There's tons of it in my Boca burgers that I was eating. It's in the salad dressings blew me away. I could not believe how much was in my salad dressings, but it was in everything. It was even in condiments. And I was like, what? And of course, when I was eating out or going to friends' houses, I wasn't really watching so much. And but then I got real strict like you did. And when I finally was like, okay, it's not coming in, I started losing weight effortlessly. I felt a lot better. My skin looked great. It was just, it was great. I was like, it was shocking to me because I was like, there is no such thing as moderation because I was eating such a little bit amount really in the grand scheme of things. And I just couldn't lose the weight. I really had to start paying attention to it. And the same like the sugar, I was finding sugar in tons and tons of things. And when I started getting more mindful with that, it was the same thing. But then I hit the problem that even when I was eating absolutely perfect, I guess I convinced myself that plants had magic calories that didn't quite count. And I was eating like four. And this was a conversation you and I had on Facebook, was that I was eating 4 and 5 plates of food and all the while patting myself on the back because it was just like vegetables or beans and rice or whatever. And my weight again stalled. And I realized, okay, you know, plants don't have magic calories. I still need to be mindful of my portions.
You know, I think that is such a great point, Lindsay, because I noticed that when I was transitioning just from eating standard American even to vegan, the way the food would feel in my body was very different. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself wanting more volume to almost like make up, I think, for the heavy meat.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's a great point because it feels like a brick in your stomach. And so you're looking for that like weight again, but vegetables just don't carry that same weight.
Yeah, it's taken me a while. Even now, I have to kind of eyeball it like, okay, wait, am I even hungry? But, you know, because it mm-hmm. takes a little while for the body and the mind to start like talking to each other again. It's almost like you're reading from a new book. Well, you really are. Mm-hmm. You're reading from a new book. And so the body, or at least my body, was so used to this way of eating in the past, and that it really took some time for it to say, it's okay, it's okay, you're not hungry, you can eat some oil-free hummus and crackers or, you know, whatever's going on today. It's okay. But I used to eat just like a lot, like you, like lots and lots of portions. But I tell you, when I cut that oil out, that's pretty much when I stopped counting calories. I can't even remember a lot. It's been so long since I've even counted calories. Because when I just eat this way, it's so simple. I mean, I can feel when I've eaten too much. I mean, I can tell. I don't have to go and look at the back of the box and see how many calories was in it. I know. Because this way of eating is just so natural. And I think about these countries that eat this way and have for centuries. They don't walk around with calorie counters.
Right, exactly. That was one of the things that really opened my eyes when I was in Asia last year, is just because a lot of people just eat such whole, simple fare, you know, and they're not all worried about their weight. They're not plugging things into their fitness app. They just eat because, like you said, it is a really sort of natural. Your body can just read it. And if you, in the pleasure trap, as you know, Doug Lytle, he talks about how there's like these sensors in our stomach, these satiation sensors, these weight and volume sensors. And when we eat what he calls magic food, which is highly processed, palatable food, you know, like white flours, oils, sugars, animal products, it doesn't trigger those sensors in our stomach to talk to our brain. So like our eyes and our brains and our stomach are just unable to communicate. However, when we eat these whole natural foods, you know, these vegetables, these beans, these rice, it triggers it because there's all that fiber to say, hey, you know, this is heavy and weighty, you're good.
Yeah. And did you notice, like, I noticed that when I would eat certain kind of beans, I would get fuller faster. When I would eat certain like rice types, I would get like suddenly I got really discriminatory about what was making me full. And people who don't eat this way will be like, how are you full from some beans? I'm like, well, it depends on which bean.
No, that's a really good point, because I've noticed that with like hummus, which I can eat, like you said, a whole tub of it. It doesn't like fill me up as fast as like the whole chickpea does. Or similarly, I've noticed that with certain vegetables, like I can eat a potato and it really kind of hits me and I feel satisfied, but I just don't get kind of that same experience with green beans. Even though I love green beans and I eat them all the time, it's just like you said, I think you start to gravitate. Or brown rice versus white rice. The brown rice, like after a cup, I'm like, wow, that was a lot. Versus white rice, I'm like, keep shoveling it in.
Yeah. It literally fills it. And I wanted to mention too, whenever I cut the oil out, I actually lost some cellulite. And I was like,
oh,
yes.
Which any woman would be like, I'm so jealous right now. I am.
Yeah. I mean, there's still some there, but just the fact that I didn't run a marathon or rub on it or get a fancy cream, it was just literally letting go of some oil helped my cellulite improve. That was like amazing to me, because this was not information I was certainly raised on.
Right. And now that you've mentioned it, I have noticed a reduction too. And I thought it was just general weight loss, which it certainly could have been. But it probably was also, like you said, a compound effect of reducing the oil. And that's one thing I want to really, you know, embrace about your story, is you really have pretty much done this by diet. I mean, you aren't out there, you know, you used to exercise to the point where you were in pain because it just hurt your back so much. But you really kind of, this weight loss and your maintenance now, it's really just you eating right.
Oh, that's probably the best part. When I was in college, I used to teach like 10 aerobics classes a week just to be skinny. And I would go like to the fast food joint, get burger and fries, and then go run 3 miles with my friend. Like I had really bad issues with food. But now, I mean, I probably work out less than I have in my life, but yet I feel so good about it. Like I just walk in the sunshine. I go to yoga classes. This might be too much information, but
we love it.
I actually follow the phases of my cycle, my menstrual cycle. So like if I'm on the first week, I do very gentle things. If I'm on phase two, then I'm like power yoga, hot yoga, sweat, sweat, sweat. You know, and then when I'm in that premenstrual, so that week before, I'm like, long solitary walks, please. I don't want anybody around me, you know. And so I actually use my body now to kind of guide my movement. Oh my, Lindsay, that is like it's like this harmony of body, mind, and soul, as opposed to this external dictionary or person saying, eat this many calories. Because it used to be, if I don't get my 30 minutes in 4 days a week, I'm not going to lose weight or I'm not going to maintain weight. I just let all that go. I mean, I like seeing how far I walk. Like I keep something on my phone because like, I want to see.
It's because you're curious more than like you feel like I have to walk exactly 10 miles.
Yes.
And I love that too. It's such a, it's like you're in a natural state with your body. You're just completely connected to yourself. And I was like that too, is I would eat a jelly donut and then I would go try to run off the jelly donut, except I never seemed to really actually be able to do that.
I would do that too.
Like I would, and I was just like you said, I would, oh, hey, I ate this much. I got to work out for this amount of time. And it still didn't compute. I'm like, but then that's why I'm saying like, I hate that math formula because I don't think it works in a vacuum unless it's with healthy foods, because I would, like you said, eat a cheeseburger and fries, and then I would go try to work out for 3 hours to try to burn it off. But it just never seemed to work that way for me.
And I think
it made me crazy.
It can make you crazy. I was thinking about this. Do you remember when type 2 diabetes like first came on the scene and lots of people were getting it? And all of a sudden in every restaurant, we see these little blue packets and yellow packets and pink packets. And there's cookbooks now based around artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. I was like, we'll do anything as a culture to keep eating the way we want to eat.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head with that, Stephanie.
You know, whether Absolutely. It's with sugar or with like what I did with oil, you know, with getting the fake meats and just thinking, oh, well, this is fine. You know, it's like I would do anything to keep eating quote unquote steak, but in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care, you know, that it was bad for my body. I just wanted to eat the flavors that I wanted. And that's it. I wanted to hear good things about my bad habits.
Yes. As Dr. McDougall says, I love that quote. It's so true. And, what's funny is like there's this member I've been working with for several months. She's wonderful. And like every 3 days, she'll find some random article on some random website that says, oh, meat's healthy for this reason or dairy's healthy. You need to eat it, you know, basically saying what I'm not saying. And she's like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, stop looking for reasons to eat meat and dairy. This is working for you. You've lost 50 pounds. You're off all your medication. You feel good. It's working for you. Stop still trying to find a reason to go back.
Yes.
I knew you and I were going to be having our podcast today. And so I was like, I can't wait to talk to Stephanie about her mindset shift, because it really was true. And one of the things when we were talking, in our group, and you know, I love the meal plan forums in our group. I just have to say that it's my happy place. And I know you feel that way too. So we'll talk about that. But one of the things you said that I loved is that, you said that you had to learn the hard way that losing weight is not always enough. And it really is about optimal health and just really embracing that in your heart.
Yes. Cause I'll hear a lot when I'll talk to people, I'll say, well, why do you want to lose weight? And they'll say, well, I want to get healthy. And I'm like, is that enough? You know, because I think a lot of us will say, well, I want to be healthy, but we need more. Like, I need more. I need to know why I want to have optimal health. Do I want optimal health? And I didn't even know I wanted optimal health until I had lost 80-something pounds, and then I had high blood pressure, dizzy spells, and they were going to send me to be tested for MS. I mean,
yeah, like, horrible. And let's reiterate that. You had lost, what was it, 86, I think? Almost 100 pounds. I mean, over 80 pounds, close to 90 pounds. And that's when you were having dizzy spells and high blood pressure and all these medical things happened to you.
Yes.
After 86 pounds, not when you were over 300 pounds, but when you were getting ready to break the 200 point. I mean, that's huge.
That's depressing.
It is. But and that's the thing is, like you said, and I say that to people all the time, that healthy comes in all different shapes and sizes, because just as I've met, you know, overweight people with medical problems, I've met super skinny people with heart disease or type 2 diabetes. I mean, they're thin. You look at them and you're like, oh, that's thin. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're healthy either. You know, healthy is more than just, like you said, the weight loss.
Yeah, and looking back, it was a blessing that that happened, because if it would not have been for those things, I don't know that I would have found this path. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had motivation to try more new things. I would have just stayed right there, keeping on doing what I was trying to do, which wasn't working. But I realized when I was schlepping around and having all these problems, I thought, no, whatever it takes, I don't want to live like this. Even though I've lost 80 pounds, I don't want to live my day-to-day life like this. I want optimal health. And suddenly I was like, I'll do whatever it takes. I will push through. I will cook. I will meal plan. I will find a replacement for chocolate chip cookies. I will figure it out one day at a time. I will figure this out. But I am not going to be, you know, have, you know, a toddler running around and mommy's depressed and on all these medications. I'm not going to do it. And it was in these early stages. So It was all in my hands. I had it in my hands, you know, and I'm so glad that I pushed through. And that's when I realized it was really about optimal health. And it really, until then, I thought I was doing it for health, but really I just wanted to be, quote, skinny. Mm-hmm. But that was the moment where it's like, if you say you want optimal health, here's where the rubber hits the road, Stephanie. Do you really want it? Mm-hmm. You know, and I did, and I do. And I have it. Like, all that stuff is gone. Like, it's totally gone. No, I mean, within 2 weeks, I was off the blood pressure medication.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Yeah, I was done. I was like, this is not going to be my life, period. The end of the story.
One of the things that you reminded me of was my parents, which I talk about all the time, and everyone loves them. But, you know, my parents had made some moderate changes, you know, like switching to whole wheat from, you know, white. And they stopped eating out at, like, Taco Bell, and they stopped drinking soda. And so they had made some, tried to eat more vegetables, adopted Meatless Monday. And so they had made some pretty good changes, and they would tell me they were doing pretty good. And I'd yell at them, well, that's not good enough. You know, pretty good isn't good enough. And it was a constant battle. And then my dad had a heart attack, and their initial response was like yours. Well, I was doing all these things and clearly it didn't matter, because in your case, you gained 10 pounds. And in their case, my dad had a mild heart attack, and they were just like, well, what's the point? And like you said, people will do anything to keep, you know, to keep their bad habit. And I said, well, did it ever occur to you that because you'd started exercising and made these dietary changes, that it was a mild heart attack and not a fatal one? And that just, like, light bulbed, as you said, you know, just changed their mind. And they were like, oh, my God, this isn't our hands. This isn't our control. We're not helpless victims. You know, we can make a difference in our health, you know, healthcare, self-care. And they went plant-based, and, you know, they're off all of their medications now. But it was, you know, I feel like a lot of people think it isn't in their control. Like you said, you had to have that moment where you realize, I'm going to do it, whatever it takes, because this is what's important to me. Being this mother to my son, feeling good is my goal.
Yeah, I look at myself like an athlete. I really, really do. Like, I'm a mom. I work. I mean, I'm like every woman out there nowadays. We got it. We're doing it, you know? And I think of myself as an athlete. And I want to have energy all day long. I want to have clear thinking. I want to be creative. I want to get up with energy and go to sleep when my head hits the pillow. And that is what happens. And then people will say, well, how do you have all this energy? I said, I don't just happen to have all this energy. It's because of the way I'm living my life and the way I'm fueling my body and giving myself and saying no. Like, it's all of it. You know, like, this is what's so wonderful about eating this way, is it's made me so sensitive. I remember asking my little macro guy, I was like, why am I so sensitive?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, just wait. It's going to get worse. But it's beautiful, because I'm so much more in tune with my body and how I want to live, and I'm not numbed out with all the sugar. You know what, I'm numbed out with a lot of things that would just kind of coat my feelings. I can feel them. Mm-hmm. And it's really, yeah, I feel like I treat myself like an athlete, because if you see how that college athletes live, they go to class, they go to practice, they go to lunch, they go back to class, then practice. I'm like, wait a minute, that's my life. That's me.
Right.
I go. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sustaining myself like a 20-year-old. So go me.
Good for you. Exactly. And that's one thing I love, that is people often say, oh my gosh, you're so disciplined. And I guess you could say I am disciplined, like that college athlete you described so beautifully. But for me, it's just like, I practice nutritional excellence so I can be excellent.
Yes.
And I don't really feel like, oh, I'm cheating myself. I feel like you said, I'm empowering myself. I'm empowering myself. I'm living the best that I can. And I know what it's like. I remember how I used to feel, and I don't want to feel that way.
Yeah. And that's not the kind of life I want to live. There's so many things I love doing and that I want to do. And when I think, okay, Stephanie, if you go back to eating that way, what if you don't have energy for all those things anymore? Or I would get up and I would know if I would have energy that morning. I didn't know if I was going to be, I can't get up, you know? Mm-hmm. I had no steady eating pattern. I would just eat whenever, whatever, however much. And even though I had lost all the weight, it was unhealthy habits. And what I was fueling myself with wasn't bringing more life to my body. And that's such a wake-up call.
I love that. Life to your body. That's beautiful. I love that.
Yes.
That's a great phrase.
It's so much more than losing weight.
It is.
So much more.
So when you did, let's spiral back a little bit. When you did cut out the oil, did you finally lose weight? And when did your health issues, like the blood pressure and the dizzy spells that had popped up, when did all that go away for you?
That it was all around the same time. Like within about 6 months, my little macro guy, he had given me some tips, you know, like stop eating 2 or 3 hours before bed for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And then making sure I had certain things in the morning to set my blood sugar right. Because I didn't have diabetes or anything like that. But it was some blood sugar indicators, you could say. Mm-hmm. And so some of it was just learning like how to eat and when to eat. You know, so some of it was tweaking the plant-based diet, which I was been doing all along. You just keep mm-hmm. tweaking yourself. And then letting the oil go was really on me because he didn't micromanage me about it. He just kind of threw it out there as a suggestion. I think because he knew I was going to get riled up. It took me a week to do anything he would suggest because I would be so mad.
And you need to, you would have to go through the 5 stages of grief. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, would I ever. So then I dropped the oil and just everything got better. And I noticed my energy started rising. That's when I discovered that there was more to eating this way than meets the eye. Because I went from thinking, quote, vegan. Okay, mm-hmm. whatever that means is how I'm going to eat. Whatever you tell me is in a cookbook, that's what I'm going to do. And it took me a lot of educating myself on my own. And then, like I said, with the help of some people to kind of like start going, what does this mean for me? What does vegan mean for me? What does plant-based mean for me? How does this look in my everyday life? You know, do I eat grains? Do I eat beans? Am I going to be full enough? It there's definitely like a learning curve there, but if you keep pushing through it, it's so worth it.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you went through like the bland phase, which I love that you pointed that out because we've heard it a lot on the podcast, and it's something I can't say enough is that, you know, salt and sugar overstimulate your taste buds. Oil coats your tongue, so it's like eating with a glove on and does a lot of damage. So food will taste bland for you at first, but as you said, if you stick with it and you heal those taste receptors, you're going to be in a happy, 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 delicious place.
Yeah, and even just, I remember one of the first recipes I made from you was the black bean burger, the real easy one.
Oh, I love those.
And I remember thinking, ketchup? Garlic powder? I've never had that before. Onion powder? Okay, whatever. And I threw it in there, and I loved it. And it really taught me that I didn't need, quote, salt
mm-hmm.
for it to taste good. Mm-hmm. Like, garlic powder and onion powder go a long way.
Love those, too. I buy them in, like, I'll go to Target and buy, like, 5 of each at once. And I'm just like, this isn't going to last that long. Please don't judge me. It's so good.
Yeah, like diced onions, dried parsley. Like, there's so many mm-hmm. spices now. Because down here, we would just buy, like, Tony Sachery seasoning, which is, like, this Cajun seasoning that's full of salt. I mean, it's very salty, but it's full of stuff. We never really bought spices individually.
Right. You bought blends, yeah.
Yeah, we bought blends. And so now I'm like, I think I want some cinnamon or some cardamom or, you know, I feel like so chefy now.
That, you know, and that's funny thing is I hear a lot of people say, oh, I hated cooking until I started doing the meal plans or I went plant-based and I really fell in love with it and really kind of, like you said, appreciating each and every spice and kind of even putting my own spins on things like, oh, this is how it is, but I know I'll really love it if I add a little bit more, as you said, cinnamon or cardamom. So one thing that you mentioned is that you live in Louisiana, which is probably not the most plant-based place on the planet. And I know you felt a little isolated early on. And one of the things that has really helped you is like the forums and the group. But maybe you can talk to us about, you know, existing amongst your peers when you're different and how maybe online has helped you find your new community.
Yeah, sometimes, most of the time, that is my only community, honestly. I'll be honest, for a long time, I was very even in the closet because mm-hmm. I would want to know that if I changed my mind or if I was somewhere, I could eat it, you know? Mm-hmm. And something that pushed me, I mean, people would start to make jokes or they would talk about it behind my back and I'd find out, I'm like, oh, but I try not to make it obvious. I don't
right.
say anything. And they would still say things. And I'm like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal to you. What I'm, quote, not eating.
You right.
know? Then one time my husband went somewhere with they go to this weekly thing and they were having hot dogs and the hostess said, oh, you didn't bring any tofu hot dogs. Aww. And like, my husband's not even the professed plant-based person. I mean, he is right. now, but he does, you know. And I thought, oh, now you're messing with my man? Really? Do you have no bounds? I mean, so I tell you, it was hard. And I'll be honest, a lot of times I stayed home because I didn't want to deal with it. And I wanted to stay true to what I knew felt right for me. It almost felt like a baby, mm-hmm. you know, like I needed to take care of my little baby plant-based person, you know, and not let anybody pick on her just right away. That was just me. And then as I got stronger within myself, within my home, then the more I could kind of go out and say, oh, can you bring me some potatoes on that side? It's cool. Lemon's fine. And now I can, but it, there's like this space in between when I was first starting to now, that's really shaky. It was really shaky. And there were times when I would say, let's just go walking. Let's not go eat, you know, or I'll come a little later so I wouldn't have to be around the food as much. I would just keep. And then after a while, people sort of got used to it. And mm-hmm. it just became to be how it was. So it was only weird at first. It was weird for me. It was weird for them. But the more I kept doing it, the less they had to say about it because it was just what was. It was like, what's that phrase? All new broom sweep clean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Like it was the new thing, like the new premiere of the TV show. Oh, la, 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 you know. And then by the end of the season, you're like, I don't even DVR it anymore.
Right,
you know, like,
yeah.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Yeah. So it sort of became like that. And even in my sort of extended family, I started noticing they started eating and making less meat stuff because they knew we weren't going to eat it. And
oh,
we
wow.
never said, we're not eating that. We just right. didn't eat it. And so it's been kind of neat to see people make concessions, but sort of inadvertently, if that
right.
makes sense. They're like, I'm not going to cook
it's,
this.
You're not forcing them to do it. They're just not doing it.
Yes. And it slowly becomes a part of the culture where
right.
you're mingling together and it's coexisting and it's fine. But I would say to anybody, it's, if you can just persevere through that initial hump, because remember, not only is it new to them, it's new to you, and you're both sort of like figuring it out together,
mm-hmm.
like how you're going to handle it emotionally and what does this bring up in everybody, you know? And then lay low if you need to lay low.
Some right.
you might need some space, and you might need some space. But eventually, they just come around, you know? And by come around, I mean, I can't imagine anybody around me harping on it to me now because I'm so much more assertive.
Well, and the jokes get old and people, like you said, they move on, they get over it. There's something else to, you know, tease. And I find that to be true all the time. And I love your advice to just persevere. And hopefully everyone will just have supportive friends, but that's not always the case in the way it is. But I saw that in my family too. I the first year I showed up at the family reunion, everyone made the jokes, like you said, about the tofu hot dog. Where's the tofu? it's 7 years later, like that joke's played out. You know,
right,
like there's some new family member to get picked on for something.
Exactly. Yeah, and I would just, that's usually when I would come home and jump on a forum somewhere or jump in. Like if I saw a cake somebody was having and I really wanted it, I would either scour your books or scour the internet. I would scour something.
Yeah.
And I would find some way to make something that would satisfy me. So I didn't go, I can't have that. It was more like, no, I choose not to have those ingredients, but I can make it and it's going to be great. And that helped a lot because you build up your repertoire. Like my repertoire built up, my toolbox built up. So now when I see something somewhere, I'm like, oh, I can do that at home. Hold up, hold up.
Yeah.
You know? And it was getting back because like even before that, way back a little bit, my son was born and we were going like sometimes we would drive through McDonald's and get like French fries and drive through the chicken place. And I knew it was bad when we were driving, he'd go, oh, chicken place, we're going to stop there. I was like,
oh, goodness.
I can't do this to my child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word. And then I stopped and we started bringing our snacks with us. We were professional snack baggers. And I knew he had truly changed just because I changed. When we went to go somewhere and he said, wait, Mom, I want to get my snacks. And I wanted
Aww,
to cry. I wanted
so
to cry.
Oh, I love it.
Because I realized everything I was doing, every little turn of the car into a drive-thru was sending him a message about what we do when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we leave here, we go to the chicken place. When we're on the way to the park, we go to the chicken place. You know, I'm making these connections in his brain, and I'm also solidifying the connections I had in my brain that I needed to let go of.
Right.
So he's actually helping me now because he's like, oh, let's get our bag. And now I went all out, and I got like this big, awesome, beautiful purple bag that holds lots of food.
I love it. Two things you said is, one is you said, and I always try to tell people this, is that to shift your mindset into not I can't have it, but like you said, I'm choosing not to have it, because that's extremely empowering. And it's like it goes back to that shift in the mindset. And I love that you embrace that, because it's something I really try to bring out on the podcast and also with the members. But also, you reminded me of another mom that we spoke with that she said she really tries to teach her kid that it's not about the food. Like, you can miss a birthday party or a play date or a movie, but you shouldn't feel sad that you're missing out on like McDonald's or something. Like, she's, like you said, trying to really teach the child that there's more to life than just like food, and to not, as you say, build these habits. And I know I felt that way, because every time we went on a road trip with my parents, it was the only time we ever had McDonald's. My parents didn't really feed me fast food growing up. But then, of course, when I was in college and I was like driving home or going on a road trip, you want to guess what I did? I went to McDonald's. Yeah. And so it became like this lifelong habit that was solidified in my mind. And it's been, oh gosh, probably a decade since I've had McDonald's. But I'll still sometimes be on a road trip and see a McDonald's and not feel sad, but just like go through that motion of like, I don't go there. You know, and it's just because it was like all these years that it was just like pushed into my brain.
That is so true. And I had to get honest with myself, because we'd go to visit my parents who live like an hour and a half away. And I would think, like when I was in my sad dieting days, standard American diet, I remember thinking, oh, well, I'm just way too much of in a hurry to pack any food. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be on the way home that night. Well, I didn't have any food and we were hungry and what was open?
Right.
Oh, got to drive through. It's not my fault, y'all. And so one of the things I had to really own up to was, Stephanie, you're lying to yourself. You want an excuse to eat this food.
Yep.
So what's going on? And I started like every morning, I use Evernote, this note taker thing on my computer.
Oh, I love
and I
Evernote.
Write in all of my whys. Like, I have a mission statement, what my purpose is for my life, what I want. It's like affirmations, purpose. It's all these things, quotes. And every morning or afternoon, whenever I have time, I read them. Because I have to constantly like reset myself, because the culture around me is not saying that. It's
right.
Not really doing that a lot. And I want to do it in all areas of my life, not just food, but in the way I'm a parent, in the way I'm a wife, in the way I'm a friend, everything. That's where I think the mindset comes in, because then I remember these things I've read that affect all areas of my life, like little spider webs. They just keep branching out. So every decision I make, when I choose to make my own, like this morning, we batched hummus, you know, so like hummus for a week now. That was a choice. You know, I could have gone and
exactly.
gotten it at the store. I made the choice. And so then my son's with me trying it out and seeing if it needs more lemon. So it's become this way of life, you know, and I think people think, well, maybe foods, I'll just buy a different brand. You know, but for me, eating this way has affected our whole life. It's affected my schedule, because like I have a day that I shop, like I'm very organized about it. And I had to really commit to get the results. I had to commit to the actions that it takes to get the results, not just weight loss results, but energy and clear thinking and being calm. You know, like I had depression. Mm-hmm. It all went away when I ate this way.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things I could have ever done with my life. And that sounds big, but it's really, really true. Like, getting that high blood pressure scare was really one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. I hope other people can change and not have to have that.
Have to go through. Yeah, I know. I wish that it wasn't the case, but so often it is. Which, and a lot of people do end up feeling like it's a blessing, like you. And also like you, I was the same way, as I would come up with all these excuses. I'm so busy. I'm working 80 hours a week, blah, blah, blah. And I think I was just using it as an excuse to not do what I knew I needed to do, which was to cook. And one of the ways I've gotten around it, which we've been dying to talk about, is batch cooking. Yeah. And I'm absolutely obsessed with batch cooking. So one of the things I love the most about the meal plans is you can make all the meals for the week in one shot. But I've also gotten into this habit of doing these batch cookings during the week, like while I'm doing laundry or watching TV. Like you said, you made a batch of hummus. I do the same thing. You know, I have these different days where, okay, I'm going to make all the rice for the whole month and put it in my freezer. But But you can watch me batch cook on YouTube. But why don't you tell us about your new experiences and how you've fallen? I've gotten you hooked on batch cooking.
Oh, my God. Well, I watched your video on it, especially the one where you kind of give a lot of tips as you go through. And I went, rice? Batch cook rice? How about this old and I never thought of it? So it's like the next day, literally, I batch cooked the whole thing of rice and stuck it in little Ziploc baggies in the freezer. And I thought,
which is what I do.
Lindsay, goodness. And I said, what else she's got up her sleeve? And so then when I looked at the meal plan, I started really looking at the batch page. I would usually skip it. And I started to look. I said, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm just going to try. And then I started seeing the pattern. I was like, okay, I get it. If it's a grain or if it's a root vegetable like a potato or a sweet potato, those are going to get batched cooked together. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, so I kind of started seeing, like, once your mind wraps around it, it gets easier. But it's like driving a car. If you don't know how to – have you ever passed those teen drivers on the road and you're scared?
Like, oh, yeah.
Student driver in the car and you're like, I need to pass this person.
Yeah, like right now.
That's how it is when I started batch cooking. It was like a lot of thinking. Like, am I going to get through this? Do I have everything together? And it feels like a lot of work because it was all new. But then after I kind of got a couple weeks under my belt, I was like, I got this. This is not rocket science. And the nice thing was, especially as a mom who's an athlete, I call myself a work like a but you don't realize how much time it saves during your week. I kid mm-hmm. you not. Because if I had to make every meal every day, although the meals don't take a long time, let's figure 30 minutes to prep a meal. So that's 30 minutes Monday, 30 minutes Tuesday, right? All week mm-hmm. long. Well, who wants to do that after they've been working all day? When I can take, you know, 2 to 3.5 hours on one afternoon and knock it all out.
Right.
And then I thought of this. I was like, well, wait a minute. I was driving home last week and I was starving and I was able to pass everything up because I was going, what am I going to eat? Oh, wait, do I want the queso bowl? No. Do you want the sweet potato peel off? No. Do
you, you had like a full restaurant menu available to you.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. And then the third thing I've loved about it is that my husband tends to like things and I tend to like certain things the best, right? So like he's knocking out the spaghetti and meatballs this week and I'm like, meh, but I'm knocking out the queso bowl. Mm-hmm. In fact, I did knock it out today. It's gone. but that's nice too because normally if you cook something and there's like one leftover, there's this scarcity mentality like, did you eat all the leftovers? Now what am I going to eat? Thanks.
Right.
Or you're going, well, I have leftovers, but I don't really like that. My husband likes that, but I don't like that. Or they don't like it and you do. But when you batch cook it all, it's like everybody's happy for a whole week. Everybody has something they can eat. I'm like, oh, man, I feel like I found a new religion.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear you say that because batch cooking has profoundly, I mean, I cannot put into words in any amount of emotion how much it has changed my life and my family's life. And so I really encourage people to try batch cooking. And I'm so happy to hear that it's working for you and your experiences are mine. I faithfully cook all our meals for the week on the weekend. And I love it for a number of reasons. Like you said, is if it is Tuesday and I have 5 different options to choose from for my meal, so it doesn't matter what I'm in the mood for. I've got something to pick from. But also, my husband can just grab what he wants to eat from all of the choices and reheat it. And, you know, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Sometimes, like you said, you want to tie in, but sometimes you're like, oh, just not today. But just to have it all done and not – and I'm really fast in the kitchen. I write cookbooks for a living, so I cook all the time. So I'm a little faster than the average bear. But like you said, even with my fastest, to do it every single night would take me at least 20 minutes start to finish if I'm including prep and cleanup. And that adds up versus yeah. I can just bang it out in 1 to 2 hours on Sunday. And then the only time spent during the week is the 2 minutes in the microwave when I'm reheating.
It's so true. And it's not like meat either. You know, like with meat, mm-hmm. you can't let your chicken touch where the beef was and contamination and bacteria. Well, like I have like this huge baking sheet. And so I can just switch out vegetables and cook the next thing when I'm batching. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that if I had meat. And
oh, no.
I find that the pots are easier to clean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Plants. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I finally had to, like you said, I had to come to Jesus moment that to eat this way, I'm going to have to cook. Like there's really no getting around it. If you're going to avoid oil, especially, you're going to have to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And why not find a way to cook that you enjoy? that makes it fun, like put on happy music or listen to something inspiring on a podcast, you know, whatever. Just like make it, I make it like my time.
Me too. I watch bad TV.
That's right. TV. Junk food TV. I love it.
But it's my, like you said, it's my time. And I actually find it really soothing and relaxing. And I always have like a load of laundry or something going in the back too, which is, you know, I have to multitask, as I'm sure you do being an athlete mom. I love that. I'm going to start saying that. I'm an athlete. But it is true. And for me, even when I don't want to do it, because sometimes I'm not in the mood, I find once I kind of get going, I'm happy to continue. But more importantly, I just remind myself how much better my week's going to be and how good I'm going to feel about myself even before I've eaten it. Like, oh, look at me. I'm so good. I did this.
And you never know, like, who you're inspiring around you.
Right.
You know, I know, you know, you inspire me so much.
Aww,
making that
thanks.
Video. I mean, watching you cook is, like, inspiring. But when you're home and you're trying, you want to lose weight and you want this optimal health and you see that, it's like gold.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the things that make or break your day.
Absolutely. Well, Stephanie, it has been so amazing to have you on this podcast. You're incredibly inspiring. I love your energy. I love all of your attitudes. But before we go, is there anything you want to share with someone who might be listening and isn't sure? Just to give them some inspiration.
Oh, just start. You know, just start in a way that feels right to you. Whatever that is, just start with one thing. Just find one recipe you like. Don't give up. You're going to try. You're going to have recipes you don't like. That's just how it is. But don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just start somewhere. Whether you read a book, look, you know, whether they watch one of your YouTube video on batching, just start somewhere. Do something, some kind of action at the end of the day that you said you did to move yourself forward. One thing.
I love that. Well, thanks again, Stephanie. If you want to learn more, you can visit getmealplans.com. And Stephanie is one of our longtime members. So if you join us, you will get to meet her. And of course, me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks again, Stephanie, for being on this on the Co-Pilot series today. It's been amazing to have you. I really loved this podcast and your thoughts and just your happy energy. You really are an inspiration to us all.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks.